And we welcome you inside the JW Marriott Hotel in downtown Indianapolis. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Turner Pest Control. If you demand the best, go with Turner Pest. JP Shadrick with John Osier. And for the first time, we're live at the Combine in Indy, something that hasn't been done before on Jaguars.com.
Well, and speaking of demanding the best, right? I mean, this is cool. This is I'm not sure very many other people are doing this around the league. It's a neat thing, and I think it's going to give people the energy of this combine. And I'm looking forward to this week. I don't know about you.
No doubt about it. And you can get in on the show as well over social media today. Of course, no phone lines today. But at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, use the hashtag JagsLive. We'll try to get to some questions a little bit later. Of course, with the Jaguars this week, it is combine time. The brass arrived today. Caldwell and Bradley are scheduled to arrive around 4 o'clock here at the hotel in Indianapolis. And, of course, the media events start tomorrow. We'll have Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. We'll catch up with both of them when they arrive today, and we'll have a big Inside the Jaguars driven by Tom Bush B&W a little bit later, and that'll be the real starting point today.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what Gus and Dave have to say, as always. This is sort of a starting point. I know we talked to him at the Senior Bowl. We've talked to him a little bit since we were back in Jacksonville, but this is really the starting point when they've had time to get inside the film room and time to figure out sort of what their offseason is going to look like. I'm not sure they're going to share everything, but it is a chance for them to sort of reset the stage. It's a chance for them the next couple of days to talk to the national media, and they'll come here with some ideas, and they'll be wanting to talk about the direction the franchise is going.
And they're
going
to speak to the national media tomorrow. Caldwell's press conference at 1:30. Friday, Bradley speaks at noon. We'll carry both of those live right here on Jaguars.com as well. I guess some of the biggest news, the biggest position here, of course, is quarterbacks this week, and there is some news earlier today. Derek Carr said that he will not throw this week. Manziel, we already knew, will not throw. Bortles will throw. Is that oversold? Is that as big of a deal as it seems to
be? You know, I think as long as they throw well at their pro day, it sort of shakes out by the end. I think what's interesting is it's not really news anymore when a guy chooses to throw. 7 or 8 years ago, almost nobody worked out at the combine. Alex can talk about this a little bit when he's on.
Sure.
But I can remember being here when you'd have 10, 15, 20 top guys who just wouldn't participate. I think now that the NFL Network has been in and guys know it's on camera, they know they're going to get seen by all their peers, all the fans, they want to participate. I know Gus Bradley likes that because he likes guys who are about going out there and competing to bring it back to the Jaguars.
Right.
So I don't think it hurts a guy to answer your question. As long as at some point they throw well, I don't think it's going to affect their draft status. But it'd be nice to see him do it.
No doubt about that. And you mentioned that, yes, Bradley and Caldwell might be influenced a little bit. We saw a story from Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, and we'll talk to Pete tomorrow from the media center. But maybe a little direction of what Dave might be thinking on quarterbacks. We'll talk about that in depth a little bit later in this show. Let's get into our guest now, John. I'm going to kick you out of here for
I was going to say, back when I was – you know, working with Alex Marvez in Gainesville, we're covering the Final Four together. He was just a little stringer. I never thought I would be getting out of a chair in Indy to let him go. But Alex, come on in.
Alex Marvez joins us from Fox Sports 1 and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, live on Jaguars.com Live. Man, thanks a lot for coming over today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. You know, I feel like an honorary member of the Jags family, actually, with all the stuff I end up doing in the market and working with you and John and JP. I mean, you, JP, and it's just, it's awesome. And yeah, you're right. I was happy to kick John out of this chair. There's no question.
I don't know if we can get a paycheck your way anytime soon, but you know, there's enough you're doing for us. We really appreciate it. Speaking of the quarterbacks that will or will not throw, is that as big a deal as it's made out to be?
I think what we love is the spectacle of the quarterback throwing. You know, when you wake up Sunday morning and you turn on NFL Network and you're watching the combine, you'd love to be able to see a body of work on somebody, but I can't blame these quarterbacks for not working out. And here's part of the reason why. They can't control the environment that they're in. They're dealing with wide receivers that they've never worked with before. And all of a sudden, people start making judgments based upon the fact that a guy may not run his route properly. I mean, who's to say that you're not throwing to the 32nd ranked wide receiver who doesn't know how to cut, you know, their nine route properly, something like that.
Sure.
I mean, you know, so it goes ahead. I don't think there's really much to gain for the top tier quarterbacks as long as you do well on your pro day. Now, that being said, it does put additional pressure on you at your pro day to have a great showing. For example, Johnny Manziel, March 27th at Texas A&M, that's his day, but he's going to be around his own wide receivers. He's going to be doing a controlled workout. This will be something that they set up for him to go ahead and try to showcase his strengths. So I think I understand why it is. It's a business. And let's not forget what we're really here for at the Combine for, beside putting stuff on expense reports, and that is this. It is the medical part of this. This is the biggest part of the Combine, and this This is the reason that the whole thing was created, to get everyone in one place so that you can undergo the MRIs, that you can go ahead and have that. Then second comes the interviews. Then third come the workouts. But you got to be able to score in an interview. And I think that's where the quarterbacks have to go ahead and do the biggest job, the best job that they can right now. For example, Johnny Manziel's got to answer those questions. Sure. How much does he care about football, or does he care about the trappings of football more?
You mentioned the medical procedures. Tony Boselli told me last week that when he went through this, that he had to go to every team, every doctor's stretching him, poking, prodding, and by the end of that run, he was sore, more sore than playing sometimes because of all the prodding they do.
Right. Now, thank goodness what they've done now is they've really streamlined this. They brought in a bunch of extra MRI machines to get this done. It used to be you have to go to a hospital. You would have to leave the combine premises, go to a hospital, and get put in an MRI machine. And sometimes you could have a backlog. If somebody moves, you get people were claustrophobic. I mean, it was a complete nightmare. There were times literally 8-hour delays for some folks who were going ahead and getting medically tested. So this is the way to go ahead and get this all done in a one-stop shop. Then what happens, let's say, like John Osher, you have a whole bunch of physical maladies, and you know you need to go ahead and convince a team that you're going to be okay. So you'll go ahead, you'll come back in April. They'll do a retest to go ahead, and it might even be pushed to May at this point, but it'll probably be in April. They'll go ahead, retest you, see how much further, the progress that you have made going forward. So, for example, in Aaron Murray, if he's here, he'll have his MRI on his knee checked out. Then you can come back in late April and see how much progress he's made from the injury he suffered at the University of Georgia.
Sure. Alex Marvez is with us, Fox Sports 1, Sirius XM Satellite Radio on Jaguars.com Live. Hey, we have a question on social media for you.
Ooh.
Quick turnaround here,
yes.
Too. This is from J_Durkin. If all quarterbacks are available for the Jaguars at 3, who would be the best fit? Big, broad question.
You know what? If Johnny Manziel, if you interview him and you're comfortable, wouldn't you love to see him Johnny Jaguar? I mean, really, I mean, how much of a shot in the arm would he give to this franchise? You know, I mean, it'd be like the anti-Blaine Gabbert in a way. And I know Blaine is still on the roster, but it just has not worked out. And I don't think it's going to work out from every indication that I've gotten. So I think, you know, and you have to look at Gus Bradley a little bit here, too. And he and Dave Caldwell, such a great fit together as head coach and general manager. Look at what the Seattle Seahawks have done on offense and defense. On defense, a big secondary, hard-hitting safety, but big corners. You look at the Jaguars trying to structure their team with so much attention in the secondary last year. They paid in that regard. John Cyprian, a high pick to go ahead and be that linchpin. And look on offense. You have a mobile quarterback, a guy who can move around. And is that the direction of the Jaguars? I mean, you're really starting from scratch with this team in a lot of ways. I mean, you can go ahead and structure this offense any way you want. But I think Manziel is the most mobile of all those quarterbacks. I think he's got some really special tools. And I think there is a leadership quality with him. I don't want to knock Nolan Naraki, because he is a guy who has a good reputation. He can look at talent and judge it. But when he says there are people, he quotes people saying they're concerned about his leadership among his teammates. Well, then what did they do against Duke in that championship game? How did they go ahead and rally there? I mean, I think this is part of the problem we have with these kids. We overanalyze them so much. We're just looking for any little chink in their armor, so to speak. In this case, Johnny has his flaws. I think they're more off the field, though, than on. And I think this guy can be a really special player. And again, maybe really generate some national excitement toward a franchise that is really under the radar.
There's a lot more people giving opinions out, too. I mean, on Twitter and a lot more experts on
the Pete Priscos of the world, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Alex Marvez is with us, Fox Sports 1, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. It's Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us in Indianapolis. You mentioned Gus and Dave, of course, at the Senior Bowl. We saw that. A lot of people saw that for the first time. Gus Bradley head coaching a team on a field, working with Dave and such. That's a great pair together, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it really is, because, you know, they're and it's interesting, too, because you look at guys who didn't really have a history working together. I liken it to Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta. Ironically, the other team on the other side of the field at the Senior Bowl. But, you know, and this is not to knock Mike in any sway whatsoever, because I'm a big fan of that Falcons organization. But that being said, the practices were just held at like a warp speed, and you know, with the Jaguars. They were moving around. They were getting guys to go. In fact, I remember Chantrell Richardson, the University of Miami, actually getting sick during one of the practices. Now, I'm not sure why, if it was tempo or what the deal was, but you know what? I think, and that's big for Gus, because he coached the way that he wants to see this team play. So you're able to go ahead and see, okay, who are the guys who showed up here in shape? Who are the guys that are going to really excel when maybe, you know, they're down and out, they're tired? Are they going ahead? Are they thinking? Are they able to go straight? So I think that's excellent. And I also think, too, that there is a cohesive working relationship. You didn't see any fingers being pointed last year when the Jaguars got off to a slow start. You just saw them just continue to try to get better. And I think think that's the great part, because as you see with the Miami Dolphins, for example, you go 350 miles down I-95 and you get to Davie, Florida, and you look at a situation of what happens when the head coach and general manager aren't on the same page. That's not what you want in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's been quite a few issues down south, it sounds like, for sure. Hey, another question off social media. Our fan Jaguars Twitter is all about
crazy. Absolutely. This isn't a Tebow question, is it? Are we beyond those?
I don't know. Let's see.
Okay, let's hope.
Downer Jag fan asking, does Alex think any quarterbacks get chosen before number three? At one or two?
Yeah, I think at one and two, I think those are the spots, and that's where things get really interesting. I think Houston goes quarterback. I just find it hard for a franchise. When you have that opportunity to get that franchise quarterback, how do you pass? You know, if you're the Texans, for
but
example.
is there a quarterback worthy of one?
I think sometimes you're dealt that hand. Yeah. Who else do you take at one? And if you're not happy with the quarterbacks, well, guess what? I think the Cleveland Browns are in need of a quarterback, right? I think the Minnesota Vikings are in need of a quarterback. I think the Oakland Raiders are in need of a quarterback. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are in need of a quarterback. So we got five teams among the first eight picks. Somebody's going to like some sort of quarterback. The team to me that controls this draft, the St. Louis Rams. They are the most fascinating team to me because they do seem committed to Sam Bradford. All signs point toward them. Sticking with Sam, I don't know if it's a right or wrong decision. And it sounds goofy to say that, but sure. It's like the Jake Locker syndrome. You know, after all this time, what do you have in Sam Bradford? You know, is a guy going to be is he really as good as what you thought he would be coming in? Remember, this isn't the same group that drafted Sam Bradford that are now running the Rams, but to me, I find them interesting because they can go ahead and trade out. So if it's a Cleveland that wants to go ahead and swoop in ahead of the Jags, do the Jags have to look at going ahead and making a move up just out of sheer panic that Cleveland's going to go ahead and make a bold step? You know, Cleveland has so many extra draft picks. Is that the direction they want to go? And you know Ray Farmer wants to get off to a good start as general manager there and make that investment in that quarterback, because as you see in Cleveland, you may not have all that much time to try to go ahead and get the plan. It's on a one-year plan, so to speak, in Cleveland. So you may want to go ahead, cast your lot with quarterback now, get that guy. But yeah, that's the answer. I do think quarterbacks probably go 1, 2, 3 unless somehow Jadeveon Clowney works his way in there, but gosh, I just can't see it. I think he's going to end up going 4, 5 in that area.
Alex Marvez is with us on Jaguars.com live. Okay, this combine here, the biggest story this week that you will be chasing nationally, is it Sam? Is it Clowney? Is it Manziel? What's the biggest story you're trying to get?
I think it's Michael Sam. And just, you know, what is his reaction going to be to the media? It's been several weeks right now since he came out, announced that he is gay and publicly and is going to go ahead and become the first NFL player, openly gay NFL player in the league. And, you know, kudos to him for going ahead and making that statement. But with that statement comes a lot of other things that go with it. You are now a flag bearer. You're now someone that people are going to want to talk to. They're going to want to find out what has been the reaction around the NFL. What are NFL general managers asking you? And that's become a very tricky topic that has come up in the past, you know, dating back to the whole Jeff Ireland, Dez Bryant brouhaha about where do you draw the line? And we had a player last year who was drafted, I believe, by the Oakland Raiders, Casa, the Colorado tight end. He was asked about whether or not you have a girlfriend and questions about his sexual orientation after the NFL had specifically told teams not to go down this road. So you've heard about it. You know, do you have a girlfriend? Things like this. For some teams and some old school scouts, this may matter. You know, you would hope that the NFL is becoming a progressive enough league that Michael Sam can just be accepted for being a football player, for just being a good guy, apparently, because I've talked to the guy, I love him to death, and, you know, I have no stigma one way or the other about it. So you would hope that the league is getting to that point, but you don't know. And that this is what's going to be interesting, is to see Michael Sam right now not in a controlled media environment like right. He has been in the past.
Sure.
All these one-on-one interviews, they've been carefully orchestrated by his camp. Now he's got to go ahead and face the media horde. How's he going to respond? What's going to be the big news out of there? And the other thing is, can the guy play? And I say that, I mean, look, he had 3 sacks against my Gators, and I get all that, okay? But he was a defensive end at the time, a little bit shorter than the average NFL defensive end. He's not going to be able to cut it there. He's going to have to make that transition to outside linebacker in the NFL. So does he have the movement skills? Is he going to be able to drop back? Does he have that ability to recognize, to read those things? That's why he's projected as a mid-round pick. And then other teams have to ask themselves, okay, are we set up in an environment that we're going to be able to welcome Michael Sam, the things that come with it? Hopefully they are.
We were talking about it yesterday, John and I. That's probably the biggest off-the-field football story around the combine ever. It has to be, right, Sam?
Well, but until the next one. I mean, because remember, Manti Te'o was that last year,
true.
And you get into those things. So it's always like that, you know, Andrew Luck coming to Indianapolis when everyone knew he was going to be picked. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to mainstream media, when it comes to outside of the football lexicon, I think this is it. It's a monster day. And you know what? It's going to be a watershed moment as well when he is ultimately drafted. And I do think he will be drafted.
One final question off social media. from Mark. Where do you see Derek Carr falling to, and could you envision a scenario where the Jaguars trade back in order to get a quarterback?
Falling to or rising up? Depends what your expectations were of him going into the draft, right?
I suppose so.
I think he's a late first-round draft pick, and I don't think anything of his brother will work against him. I do think, you know, a little bit of small hand size, which is a concern in the NFL because quarterbacks with small hands have a tendency to have trouble with grip, especially that can come into play in cold weather and wet weather situations, as well as holding on to the football. Dave Craig, for example, the leading fumbler of a quarterback in NFL history, he had a small hand size. So something to worry about there. And, you know, I would have loved to have seen him work out at the combine, but you know what? At the Senior Bowl, he really was the best quarterback far and away there, and I think he established himself there. You know that the guy is going to be a leader. You know that he has that ability, much like I like Logan Thomas of Virginia Tech, a guy who will look you in the eye, talk to you. I'm not sure if it's going to translate to great play, but there are some leadership skills here among this guy. I don't even know if he wears his cap backwards or not, but I'll just tell you this. I just have a lot of respect for Derek Carr, and that is an interesting thing. If the Jaguars want to go loaded for bear, what do you do? Do you go ahead and take a Jadeveon Clowney? I mean, the Jags are so desperate for pass rush and finding that Leo that you know Gus Bradley wants to anchor his defense. Do you take Clowney there, and then maybe after, you know, you start getting into late into the first round, you start looking at going ahead and moving back up into the first round, trade your second round pick, go ahead and try to get Derek Carr if he's still available? I don't think it's a far-fetched plan. And Mark, that's a great question.
Yeah. Alex, how do you like your steak? Because we owe you one this week.
Medium rare is good, and we'll get some veggies on the side. I do like sour cream with it, which is a weird thing from the Atkins diet I used to be on, which obviously has failed and I'm off of now. But nonetheless, this was absolutely great. Love talking Jags with you, JP, and especially not John.
Yeah, John's off to the side, and that's where we kind of like him sometimes. Hey, Alex, thanks a lot, man.
Awesome. Thank
Have
you.
A great week here
thanks
in
so
Indianapolis.
Much.
Alex Marvez, Fox Sports 1, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. A reminder that Jaguars season ticket deposits are available now. Go to Jaguars.com, click on tickets, or call the box office 633-2000. They're accepting deposits now. The renewal should be in the mail by now, so an invoice should be on the way through email only, not over regular mail this year. John Osher's back with us. Isn't Alex awesome?
I do wear my hat backwards, by the way, JP.
Good for you.
As long as we're stating stuff for the record, let's put that out
there. I need to wear a hat, as we mentioned last week, of course. Interesting stuff from Alex, a big perspective from him of what really goes on here. But it's just striking how big this Sam thing can really be.
Well, and I think he's dead on in that sense. I said yesterday, I think this is the biggest non-football story. Monte Teo was going to be a first or second round pick, so he was going to have interest anyway. Tim Tebow, and he was a big story. Most of these guys were going to be big, big stories anyway, and their off-field story sort of boosted that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Michael Sam would have been even at a podium. And it's always set up. There's three podiums, and then a lot of guys are at tables.
Table, sure.
I think Michael Sam would have been a table guy with a couple of guys around him. Mm-hmm. As it stands, the scene on Saturday is going to be that deal where they call his name, Michael Sam, defensive end, Missouri, linebacker, Missouri, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a rush to there.
Right.
And I'm not familiar with Michael Sam and the media that he's dealt with in Missouri. My guess is this will be the biggest moment where cameras are pointing at this kid that's ever happened. So from what you've read and seen, he's perfectly capable of handling that, but it's going to be an interesting day on Saturday.
Jaguars.com live from the JW Marriott Hotel in downtown Indianapolis. The NFL Scouting Combine is about to get underway. Everybody's getting into town today, all the media types and such. The first big media day is tomorrow. Today, special teams, offensive line, tight ends arrive. They're on the field Saturday. They'll start speaking to the media tomorrow, and it alternates days. So Thursday, quarterbacks, wide receivers arrive. They're on the field on Sunday. Friday, D-line, linebackers arrive. They're on the field Monday. Saturday, defensive backs arrive, and they're on the field Tuesday as well.
And what that creates, JP, is it's a little different. If you're reading and sort of watching coverage on this event, then you're reading about a position group on a Friday, and they may not actually work out until Saturday. So the NFL Network coverage is a little different than the coverage we'll have on Jaguars.com. And that can be confusing if it's your first time sort of following the combine. And we have some questions from Jaguars chat. Cover it live.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Without a bunch of the top guys throwing, what is there for the Jaguars to gain by watching the quarterbacks at the combine?
Good
that
question.
Message from and I think they have a good idea. Derek Carr, Bortles, Manziel, they know what they're going to get from their pro days. seeing them here will give them a chance to judge everybody else. So, again, as Alex said, I don't know how important any one event is, and I certainly think that the on-the-field stuff, as he said, is far less important than the medical and then the interviews here. But it gives them a chance to sort of see guys in the same environment, and it gives them a chance to see a lot of guys who perhaps they wouldn't be going to the pro day on. So it's probably realistically looking at a lot of third, fourth, fifth, sixth round possibilities. If they draft two, one of them might be throwing during that time here.
And one of the points, remember the Senior Bowl, they had a chance to look at least three of the guys mm-hmm. in Mobile, if not all six quarterbacks. They might can just leave them out of the equation here and focus on some different names.
Right. Certainly Dave has said that helps them greatly in the interview process. They've got 60 guys they can interview here, and none of those guys will be guys who were at the Senior Bowl. So I think it really helps there. They'll still watch these guys throw here. Obviously, you watch any chance you get to get information.
Right.
But I think with the interview process, having been at the Senior Bowl really, really helps.
Speaking of Dave, they will arrive, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. They'll arrive today around 4 o'clock. We will interview them. We'll have that for you on Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush BMW later today. That'll be the real big show today. John, you'll join us in that as well, just to kind of recap what they say and preview that moving forward. You know, the final thing we'll talk about today is the story from Pete Prisco mm-hmm. on CBSSports.com. It came out today. He spent a day last week with Dave in the offices at Everbank Field, and really interesting, an inside look at what Dave does.
Probably as eye-opening for Dave as it was for Pete.
It was.
and it does give fans a chance to sort of see. I think a lot of Jaguars fans who have been following closely so far off season, it'll be a lot of stuff that they already sort of knew. But certainly from a national perspective, it has some really good insight into sort of what a GM's day is like and the process that he really goes through during this time of year. Because the Jaguars, as Dave says in the article, they're a transparent organization, and they don't mind sort of showing people how they really work. And one thing Dave said in there that he has said several times this offseason is about the quarterback position.
Yep.
And he emphasizes that if he's not comfortable with a quarterback at number three, if he doesn't look at a guy and say, this is the guy, he's not averse to waiting and taking that. And the comment that he made as sort of his money quote is, he's going to get criticized if he doesn't take one. But essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, he would rather be criticized for not taking one than to take the wrong guy. And that's the sort of decision on which franchises turn. It's where GMs have to be strong. It's where they have to make the right decision. I think it's a good sign that Dave is well aware of that and is saying, you know what? If it's not the right move, I can't make it right now. So who knows? But that certainly sets the stage for the decision-making process that he has to go through for the next couple of months, and it's going to be the main storyline as we go forward.
Of course, we'll have we'll have Pete Prisco live tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on Jaguars.com from the Media Center. We'll be on Jaguars.com live again tomorrow. So Pete has confirmed that he'll join us live tomorrow. That will be after the Dave Caldwell press conference, which is live as well right here on Jaguars.com. So we'll get Pete's thoughts on maybe a little more that he might have left out of the
order. And he'll be good on that. That'd be a good situation again to find out a little bit more about how Dave Caldwell works behind the scenes.
What? This is a good start to the week, John.
I agree.
I think this has been great. Great job, as always. Mm-hmm. We'll look forward to your writing today and tomorrow as well at the Media Center. Thanks a lot for your help today.
Thank you, JP.
Great work. John Osher here. I'm JP Shadrick. That's it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Turner Press Control from the JW Marriott Hotel in downtown Indy. Good afternoon.